their stamp on what their offense can look like in a series of RPOs, and the one that Will Pauling takes to the house, that's what they want to do. And you need players on the outside and on the perimeter that can win consistently to be available for you to be able to take some of those shots. So early, but both guys look like they could be really, really good players in 24.
But what they are missing, in my opinion, is the other side of the ball.
Sure.
Right now, they do not have a playmaker on defense. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of guys that play hard.
Yeah.
But they don't have that special player, a guy that can, you know, make that special play, whether it's in the back end or put pressure in the quarterback. They got to find one of those
guys. They got to find somebody that can do it at the in the front seven, right?
Yes.
Hunter Waller is clearly a playmaker, but when he's so far away from the ball, mm-hmm. it's difficult to count on him play in and play out. Austin Brown played fantastic today. He looks like he's going to be a player for you next year as well. But it's pretty evident, as to the guys that they've brought into the transfer portal, that they're aware of what they need at that linebacker inside and outside spot as well, Tim, right? Like, they've been trying to find, I think, some athletic guys that can run and disrupt. Again, it was a reoccurring conversation. Which dude could they utilize more who's playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers here in their rookie year this year?
Yeah.
Nick Herbig or Keanu Benton. Many times it felt like it was Benton, but Nick Herbig was a leader in that sense, and also getting after the passer. They just were unable to make the LSU passing game really hesitate at all today because they were not getting any kind of pressure on him today.
Real quick, before we hit our final break, let's hop to the talking text line. Thought this was pretty good. Unnamed in the 608 says, I was sad regarding the loss, some missed opportunities. However, I was very happy with the team and what the future will hold to raise Wisconsin to the next level. Mm-hmm. I was proud to see the team show they can play at the next level when they want to.
I believe that they got a lot of guys that can play there. And
I do, too.
Tim, it's a matter of a couple of bounces, right?
Yeah.
It's being able to take the football away a little bit more consistently like you did in spurts this year, but not for extended periods of time, you know, 3-4 games in a row to be able to mount some momentum. They had great moments this year, no doubt about it. Good building blocks, not where you believe you should be or want to be. But Luke Fickell's first year at Cincinnati, I believe, was 4-8. I think he'll take 7-6 a whole lot better than what that first year at Cincinnati was. He called this the most trying year of his career.
Badgers fall tonight by a score of 35-31. We'll come back and have some final thoughts on the season. As we continue in a bit, more of our local Wisconsin and UP Ford Dealers postgame show is coming up. And this is Badger football from Learfield.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Badger fans, be there when Wisconsin football returns to Camp Randall Stadium in the fall. Secure your season tickets today and be in the crowd when the Badgers take on Alabama, Oregon, and more big opponents at Camp Randall Stadium in 2024. For more information and to purchase Wisconsin football 2024 season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
This is your home for the Badgers.
Kick is in the air, and it is good, and the Badgers win it!
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Into the building for the first time after the shooting. It was crippling, but it had to be preserved.
In response to the Pulse nightclub shooting that affected the LGBTQ community, Barbara Poma, owner of Pulse, founded the One Pulse Foundation to honor Pulse victims and survivors.
If you're an ally of this community, speak out. There are more of us together than apart. It is the power of love. in its rawest form.
Join the fight for LGBTQ acceptance. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back to the Ford Postgame Show. Tim Scott, Bill Schmidt, one more time with you on the Badger Radio Network this season, 35-31. LSU comes from behind and beats the Badgers today. Frank, Billy, love to get your opinion on this one. Chimes in on the talk and text line at 414-799-1973. Says, what might have happened if the Pac-12 officials didn't give LSU receptions to a guy sitting out of bounds and a touchdown to a wide receiver with his toe on the line?
Very different game, huh?
Yeah.
Very different game. Now, the touchdown, this was where the ReliaQuest Bowl terrorism came into account, because I think there were four cameras at Raymond James Stadium
at
here
best,
today.
There was
at
four.
Best. Instead, the best camera shot, what looked like it was going to be the best vantage point to be able to determine if the LSU receiver had stepped out of bounds while he was maintaining possession of the ball, was blocked by another cameraman's head.
Yes.
Like, his head is exactly where the foot goes.
Yes. We're like, okay, here it is. Here it is.
Sweet. Awesome. the ruling on the field was obviously the whole thing. And, you know, Matt and Tausch were kind of hemming and hawing. It felt more like on TV. It looked worse than maybe it did for them there. And I was not as surprised there. The one where my man's cheek was on the white, that was a play that I was a little surprised was not overturned.
So let's take a look back here as we wrap this up on the season. You know, it's a season that started with so much hype.
A lot of hype, yeah.
A lot of hype. A
lot of videos.
A lot of videos.
Loud music.
Loud music.
Too loud music.
Mm-hmm. Bat signals, we learned that.
Surveys out to season ticket holders.
Yeah, surveys right after games.
Right after games, yeah.
You got to spend some time in Platteville,
mm-hmm.
which was new to you at that time.
I learned exactly why people love Greg Gard so much there in Platteville, and I learned a lot about the Platteville culture, that's for sure, with Long Island.
Let me ask you this question, though. Are you disappointed with this season? When you look back at it in totality, they finish up a game over 500 at 7-6. They play in a New Year's Day bowl game. You know, there was a lot of twists. There was a lot of turns.
Right.
You know, with it.
I was disappointed at times, but I think in totality, no.
Right.
I don't know that you can necessarily be, right, like happy and satisfied, I think, are two different things. I think satisfied is a good one, and encouraged by what can come. But, you know, to say that I would have been very disappointed if they wouldn't have been able to make a bowl game, right? If they would not have been able to come back and be able to beat Nebraska and then finish off against Minnesota and be able to get themselves into a game. Now, granted, Minnesota got into 5-7, so enjoy hanging that banner. But there's something to being able to finish out the season strong and get a lot of answers, I think, moving forward. They're a team, Tim, that a year ago, right, was also in danger of missing a bowl game. So where they've come, this group of seniors deserves to celebrate and enjoy this New Year's Day bowl experience and enjoy this flight home tomorrow. And hopefully their future endeavors are very prosperous to them. But they've lived a lot of life in the last 18 months. I would have been disappointed if they wouldn't have gotten to this point, but not necessarily with the result at the end of it.
I have, and again, we didn't know anything about Luke Fickell except what we had seen when he coached at Cincinnati and other stops, or and maybe you knew somebody who knew Luke. I was really concerned for this program after the Northwestern loss.
Sure.
That was a hard postgame show we did that night. Uh-huh. We heard a lot of things from players, members of the coaching staff, that we were kind of like, oh, this ain't good.
Yeah.
But they rallied. They put together the Nebraska win. And remember, they were down 14-0 to that game.
End of the first quarter, right?
They were down 14-0. Yes. And Nebraska was rolling.
Uh-huh.
Purdy looked good. Really good. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay,
they're going to get the doors blown off themselves at home.
And I was fearful that Luke had lost this group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a group that's been well documented. We've talked about it. So many others have talked about it. They have been through so much.
Yeah.
You know, and there just wasn't anything left. But yet they found a way to rally. They won back-to-back games. And quite frankly, I didn't expect what we got today from this Wisconsin football team. I know it sucks to lose because you want to win every game that you compete in. I get that. But I was really, really impressed how this team played today, how they took a team that, at least on paper, has better talent, if you're into that kind of thing, than they do. You had a quarterback that showed so much resilience and guts. You had two guys that were your third and fourth string running backs that played their backside off today. You being a former offensive lineman, outside of maybe an inopportune holding play, I thought the offensive line, for the most part, played really well today.
Yeah, did
their job. I mean, Rico Suave was there to make a pick.
Seven picks, tied for most in FBS.
I mean, Hunter Waller showed why he was so heavily recruited. That guy's a player,
totally.
Folks.
Totally, yep.
But again, we've seen it so many times, Billy. If you're going to beat a team like LSU, and maybe that's the lesson here moving forward with this program, now you get what you want, right? That they're going to expand to a 12-team playoff. No more of teams being left out, right?
Uh-huh.
Now it's about the little things. You had ample opportunity to put them away today or clean up a few things. You know, a couple of people on the talking text line talking about a key possession in the first half where the Badgers don't get it, and they had a shank punt.
Mm-hmm.
The momentum shifts to LSU, and at that point, it's game on.
Or whatever it was, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that little thing, more of them add up to a big thing, which is a loss today.
Well, and let me ask you this. I think maybe some of the, when you talk about disappointment in the end result of the season, I think some of that, if you just took the season into a vacuum, a two-year vacuum,
right,
and looked at where the program was last year while we were doing post games after the Illinois game, the Washington State game, right? Yeah. Like those disasters. Ohio State. Remember Ohio State in Columbus a year ago?
Yeah.
When it was over at the end of the first quarter? Take that in without what's changing around you in the Big Ten. There was a sense of desperation, I think, from all Big Ten West fans to say, we got to capitalize and we need to be the last one to be able to win this side of the conference because this cheat code is never going to be here again. Mm-hmm. We got to be able to take advantage. And I think that's where maybe the sense of urgency and more of the disappointment would come because that was still up for grabs at a lot of different points in the year. So I think if you were able to view this without that all external information that we do know and how the landscape is changing, I don't think there would have been as much frustration throughout it because it was a team that completely changed its offensive philosophy, completely changed its defensive philosophy, changed a lot of players, but not the majority of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a somewhat similar result, albeit, I think, with points where they looked a lot better than they did in 2022.
I want to close out with a thought that I can't take credit for. Tausch said it as he and Matt wrapped up their portion of the postgame, where he said, I'm glad my university has decided to go all in. Now, we'll find out if it works, but they went all in. I mean, for example, right now, you know what's happening at Camp Randall, right? The turf has been put out.
Pulling it up.
Why did they pull it up?
You got to get ready for playoffs,
They're
baby.
Putting heating coils in. Because in this new expanded playoff, you get to host.
Yep.
And you get to host a December playoff game.
The Wisconsin Badgers posted something today of the anniversary. I mean, now, crazy to think about this, Tim. You may have remembered this day pretty well. 30 years ago when the Badgers first got themselves back to the Rose Bowl, and Chris McIntosh was discussing it and how it motivated, and it was one of the whole reasons why he wanted to be a Badger that day. He's right here at the core of this turnaround, and he was not going to allow them to go into a cycle of mediocrity without going down swinging and taking his chance at putting and vaulting his team into the next, you know, upper echelon of college football. It's pretty impressive that they have taken that swing that Tausch is mentioning right there. Yeah.
College football, as we once knew it, is not the same. It will be an interesting journey in the next 3 to 5 years to see what the final product is. If it still maintains the integrity as far as, the Big Ten and the Pac-10 or the Pac-12 or the SEC or that type of thing. There's so much talk about there, but something has to change. Something has to change because in the current model it has, and you've heard Luke talk about it, you've heard other coaches talk about it, you've heard Matt talk about it, you and Mike Heller have talked about it. It just cannot continue at the pace it's going right now.
Yeah, the model has to be tweaked. There just has to be some adjustments to it. But I don't know about you, Tim. I'm excited for what the new Big Ten is going to look like, right? Like, I mean, is it going to be much more competitive? Is it going to be a little bit more scary to be able to go on through and win it? Sure. But as a fan, look at that home schedule next year and tell me, as you started this postgame show, are you not entertained?
Yeah.
You're going to be entertained by Badger football in 2024 and beyond. And college football is going to walk into a different age, which is going to be a whole lot of fun.
So the Badgers finish up the season with a record of 7-6 with a loss today, 35-31 to LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl. So here's the deal. Billy and I are going to continue for a little bit more in our flagship station in Madison, 1310 WIBA, in Milwaukee as well at 97.3 The Game. We'll have more from Mike Heller inside the locker room. We'll hear a bit more from Luke from his press conference when he met the media following the game today. For those of you who are not in signal range of those stations, well, you can, of course, listen anywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Just download the app and look for those stations right there, and then you can find us for the next, I don't know, we may do this for a few hours. We'll see how long it takes for us to get...
We got
to
solve some problems.
We
got to
solve some problems. We do. First and foremost, though, this is a wrap for us. We will get together sometime in 2024. Again, I want to thank you for putting up with me for all these years doing the postgame show. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor to do it for all these years, and we look forward to doing more things in the future. Billy, it's been a blast, man.
It's been awesome, boss. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate you allowing me to duck right on in here for the benchmark 25th year of you doing Badger postgames. Congratulations, man. Not a lot of people can say that they get to double digits in a job like this. For one that you're as passionate about, man, it's really, really cool to be able to witness throughout the season, so I appreciate you having me in here.
And it all started with LePay saying to me, can you do updates? A long time ago. All right, that's a wrap for us. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the expressed written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Sports Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. Alongside Bill Schmidt, I'm Tim Scott, reminding you to join us next fall when the Badgers will take on, what a great schedule to look forward to next season. For the rest of you, you can stick around with us either in Madison, Milwaukee, or the iHeartRadio app as we will continue for a bit longer tonight on our Badger football postgame show. Once again, the final tonight, LSU knocks off the Badgers 35-31 and claims the title in the ReliaQuest Bowl. This is the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger football has been brought to you by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin Badgers. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by Favorite Cat, your Caterpillar dealer throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Start the new year off right and wrap up your bathroom project with help from Menards. Check out our great selection of Lions tubs and showers that will match your style and budget while refreshing your bathroom. Get a Lions Elite tub and shower surround for just $499.99. Big buys, big savings. Check out this and other great deals going on now at Menards.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I never broke the law! I am the law!
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Devil's Advocates radio show. We have our good friend James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannoli here on the Civic Media Network on Saturday mornings. Jim, always a pleasure. Big news day. Love it when you come around and give us your opinion. A new recording, apparently, out from Wayne County, Michigan. Man, I was born in Wayne County. Jim,
it's your fault.
I take exception to what's going on here. Apparently, Trump on this recording, you know, pressuring some of these folks in Michigan to help him overturn the election, not to certify the election. It'll be really bad. You denied it now. You're gonna certify it now. That would make you look terrible. Apparently, Romney was there, the Republican head. She was on the line as well. Hey, we'll pay for the attorneys. Now, it just seems like, you know, Trump, hey, you know, if someone see someone throw a tomato, knock the hell out of them, I'll pay the attorneys. We've heard Trump talk like this before. What is it about this case or this issue, this recording, that perhaps doesn't bode very well for the former president?
It doesn't bode very well because, once again, it is another piece of clear evidence where we've got the president speaking, right? We've got so many situations out there. We've got Cassie Hutchins and other people saying this is what he said, even those who are cooperating now in Georgia probably describing what he may have said. Here you once again have the president, the former president, on a recording talking about this. It's the same sort of thing as this conversation with Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia many years ago, right? Same kind of thing. And so the reason why it is compelling is because it's just more evidence of this intent issue, which we've talked about repeatedly. When you go around and you are talking to people, not just in Georgia, but not now in Michigan, presumably other places. And by the way, we've always had a sense that there was this tape out here. Now we've got information that we know, we've got a transcript here. We've got his actual words out there. The fact that it is out there and that it is got the president himself is speaking confirms once again the strength of the case against him and the purpose that he had, which was not to preserve democracy, as his defense is going to be, but rather to remain in power. My understanding from some of the early reporting on the tape is that it just goes to that issue. How do we stay in power? Do what you need to do to keep me here. That kind of thing is very helpful and would also be admissible, if you will, in Jack Smith's case involving the overall federal insurrection charges, which there are four against the former president.
Jim Santel, our fine guest. Jim, my understanding, first take reporting I had seen on this issue, Rona McDaniel, the RNC chairperson, was on this call. And not only was she on it, she was actively involved. And I construed some of the statements she made to be threatening in nature. My understanding of the facts of this issue, these Wayne County elections people had already certified. So what they were being asked to do was change their assessment of the validity of the election. They had already said, valid, we certify it. Now they were being pressured to change their votes and, in fact, went back and tried to change their votes. My understanding is McDaniel said, if you don't go back and change your votes, you'll be arrested. There was a legal threat. There was a veiled threat, 48 hours. Do it or trouble.
Right.
Did you see similar reporting, Jim? Because I read a lot of stuff today, including a lot of the Supreme Court ruling.
I haven't seen the exact words, but exactly that same kind of thing. It is in the category, which we're seeing of great frequency, about threats in America. This one, very specific. And I think what you just described, Mike, is very important. That these are not people who are deliberating. You don't have our attorneys coming in. Even the head of the Republican Party is saying, they're saying, well, gee, here's some arguments in favor or not in favor of certifying. This was done. And she is asking them to return to this issue, to reverse it, and to do it because she is threatening them. Again, if that's to be, that is confirmed in the language here, that's the kind of thing that also gets you in criminal trouble. It's the kind of thing that Jack Smith is already charged, if you will, at least in the four count insurrection case. Fannie Willis describes that sort of thing. We've got all these things. We've got the fake electors, all those kinds of things where you've got behavior that is prompted by, and in this particular instance in Michigan, a threat. We've also seen this in many other areas. We know that the Colorado Supreme Court justices are now being threatened for what they've been doing, right? We've got all these situations where America now responds to legitimate decisions by rule of law entities. And what do? Not everyone, plainly not a majority, but we've got these people out there who think it's appropriate to threaten. And apparently it includes the head of a major party in one of our significant states in this union, who is also not above telling somebody that if they don't basically rescind their previous decision, if they don't decide to undermine the law, there will be consequences for that. That can be criminal behavior, depending upon how it's described and the particular state or federal charges that might be identified there.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. Let's talk about the Colorado Supreme Court decision for just a moment. Many, like five or six Republicans, one independent, they're the ones bringing this case, trying to keep Trump off of the ballot in Colorado. A lot of Democratic judges there, Jim. But what's your sense? Kurt and I argued about this. There's no articulation in the Constitution of how this would go down. Other states have denied it. Colorado said, you engage in insurrection in a self-evident kind of manner. Jim, what was your opinion on the Colorado Supreme Court?
Sure, right. And again, I cannot tell you that I have read through every last word and every footnote in that very extensive opinion. But what I have seen is a powerhouse opinion. We haven't assigned reading to your listeners in a long time, so maybe we'll do a portion of that tonight or tomorrow. But it is a compelling opinion. This is not a 2-3 page order. This is going through all of the legal standards, the constitutional implications of this. It's wrestling with the 14th Amendment, its history, its meaning, its purpose, and comes to a very, very compelling decision about the application of the 14th Amendment in this case as to the former president. Having said that now, then we get into the political side of things, which everyone I think is accurate in predicting, which is it goes up now. Again, we talk once again about the civics here. You can appeal a decision by a state court to the Supreme Court. Let us assume that the Supreme Court will grant cert as to this issue. They will take this on. We recall it is in the lifetime of all of us. I think it's also in the lifetime of producer Nate here joining us today. That about 23 years ago, this was an institution, the Supreme Court, that stopped the counting of votes in a state in America that turned out, basically the voting, and we looked at it at the very end, gave the votes to the opposite candidate. That was Al Gore. They stopped counting votes. Is there any doubt that this particular Supreme Court is going to overturn the Colorado Supreme Court and say, well, maybe on some procedural grounds, they've got some avenues to do that. Other things they can talk about, not giving them enough process. They will not be above that inclination to keep him on the ballot. And I would very much predict, like many, many other people, that that's going to get overturned by the Supreme Court, regrettably.
If Trump were convicted of that, would it be of what he's charged with under with Jack Smith, would the U.S. Supreme Court, how would that change their opinion, in your opinion?
I think it could. And that's one of the bases upon which they may decide this. What is the meaning of insurrection? We've got that case out in New Mexico where we do have a conviction of somebody for January 6th, the rioter there. The judge out there says, yes, indeed, a conviction is sufficient to invoke the language of the 14th Amendment and kept him off the ballot, kept him out of office. So you've got a much more compelling argument there. We don't have that yet, plainly.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It ain't a sleepy little Friday edition. It's a Festivus Friday news dump edition. We got Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of the Morning Cannolis. You live tomorrow morning, Jim?
We're live tomorrow morning. More of this wonderful discussion.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center. WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An 11-year-old girl abducted in Indiana was rescued in southwest Wisconsin this weekend. Authorities got a tip about a suspect vehicle in Barneveld and caught up with it near Dodgeville. They arrested three people from South Dakota. Arizona recently held a first-of-its-kind artificial intelligence simulation. Participants listened to and watched AI-generated audio and video that appeared to be of public officials telling lies. The point was to help prepare state election officials.
So that we can have a live exercise where election officials can, in real time, react to scenarios that get thrown at them. So it's really about training, preparation.
Adrian Fonts is Arizona's Democratic Secretary of State. You're listening to Civic Media News. Despite significant drops in youth incarceration over a decade, young people of color remain more likely to be incarcerated. More from Alex Gonzalez.
Joshua Rovner is director of youth justice for the Sentencing Project. He says the good news is fewer youths are being locked up compared with a decade ago, but more needs to be done to address persistent racial disparities.
There is some lessons to be learned here that we are capable of locking up fewer kids, but what we seem to be unable to do is to bring down those disparities.
The Sentencing Project contends incarceration is not an effective strategy in a majority of delinquency cases and instead supports alternatives such as mentorship programs, therapy, and other homegrown alternatives. Rovner argues that alternative programs lead to better public safety outcomes at lower costs and do far less damage to young people's futures. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Packers crushed the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers dominated the Vikings 33-10 on New Year's Eve and keep their playoff hopes alive. The Packers defense held the Vikings' Justin Jefferson to just 5 catches for 59 yards and no touchdowns. With Eric Stokes suffering another hamstring injury and Jaire Alexander suspended, I asked defensive back Corey Ballantyne, when did he learn that he would get to play?
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea till maybe Saturday.
Ballantyne intercepting a Jaren Hall pass that set up a touchdown for the Packers' Jaden Reed. Hall was making his first start at quarterback at home for the Vikings here at U.S. Bank Stadium.
I just couldn't get into a rhythm. I couldn't spit the ball around the field consistently. I just didn't have a good feel on it.
Packers linebacker Preston Smith.
Guys were causing pressure. Guys were not letting the quarterback be comfortable. He was not allowing big plays to happen. There was just a lot of great things happening with the defense today.
Preston, what's the best thing you think your defense did tonight?
We finished the game strong.
That's Packers linebacker Preston Smith. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the low 20s. And mostly cloudy again tomorrow, high mid 30s. A few flurries tomorrow night, then more clouds and cooler Wednesday, high low 30s. Some sunshine returns on Thursday, highs near 30 degrees. Right now it's 27.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Happier Happy Hour, the Friday edition, rolling into a holiday weekend Festivus style. We've kept Jim Santel. Appreciate you sticking around, counselor. And I want to correct the record. I thought I had read reporting that Rona McDaniel had threatened these poll workers in Wayne County. They were not threatened. I went to the source material. The Detroit News broke this story. They're apparently the ones that have Trump pressuring these poll workers. But I'm just going to read the very conclusion of this piece. Chris Thomas, a lawyer who served as Michigan's election director for more than three decades, said the Republican canvassers in Wayne County had no legal reason to block certification of the election. Now, they left the room. They had voted to certify. They left the room. They took a call from McDaniel and Trump in a car, and then they just fled. They didn't sign off on the certification. And the next day, they said they wanted to rescind after being pressured by Trump and McDaniel. But Thomas says it's pretty unfortunate that Republican leaders offered to give them something, legal protection, for not doing their jobs. They said, get out. We'll get you lawyers. But I don't want to misconstrue. I don't believe there was any threat, but I'm going to end with Thomas's quote here. Offering something of value to a public official to not perform a required duty may raise legal issues for the person doing so. I would say that'd be both Trump and McDaniel, but no threats, no clear threats, just pressure and enticements, legal support, Tom. And Jim.
Exactly. And what they're reporting is showing is that I've got Donald Trump saying we can't let these people take our country away from us. It would be terrible. They would look terrible if these electors certified the county results after first opposing them. And then you do have Ronald McDonald saying, if you can go home tonight, do not sign it. We will get you attorneys. It is the sort of thing that more than gives you pause, again, about somebody who is engaging, again, with officials in the electoral process here and encouraging them to do something that's plainly contrary to what the facts are on all of this. And I think the quote from the attorney there is probably accurate. You've got a lot of exposure here. It's probably not a threat in the literal sense of the word, but certainly some attempt to coerce their behavior, which could also be in the nature of corruption, depending upon the entire context of that conversation. Absolutely.
The Attorney General, State of Michigan, she's been a fine guest on this program a few times, Jim. Dana Nessel, she has charged the false Trump electors under Michigan statute. And one must assume this is new news to her because she apparently is aggressive in the prosecuting. And I would expect to see perhaps charges leveled against the former president, maybe even Rona McDaniel. Jim, am I wishful thinking before the Christmas break here?
I think you're absolutely right. The attorney general there, very aggressive in doing this. We know as well that I think it's at least one of the electors that she has charged there is also cooperating, which is significant, right? So that's a part of the process there. And this has some parallels to Georgia, once again, right? As you said before, you've got the former president at the time, the president reaching out to people in a particular state and asking for a change in the electoral count, basically. That's the same kind of thing that Donald Trump did with the Secretary of State there in Georgia, the same kind of thing that Fannie Willis, under Georgia law, charged as this RICO case. Presumably, the attorney general, if this is news to her, and it may be, it may not be. We don't always know what's inside the entire file, the investigative file, until these cases go to trial. She may have had some pretty good sense of this and may not have seen all the ins and outs, but it may also be there. She certainly would be looking at this once again, as Fannie Willis did, when it comes to the former president's activity, reaching into Michigan to try to change the results there.
Jim, I mean, this is going on 3 years ago, man. You know, I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, how can something like this stay, you know, hidden, quote unquote, for so long, at least from us? And number two, what does that say about what else might be out there that we do not yet know?
Says a lot of things, right? Number one, certainly that that you've got as a part of any investigation. I do think, I think we even exchanged some notes about this the other night. I do think Jack Smith has turned over every rock and probably has, again, a minute by minute, second by second accounting what was going on January 6th. He has done a lot of this, and I wouldn't be surprised if he already had some sense of what other things that Donald Trump has said to other people in other states, maybe even in Wisconsin, we don't know. Those are the kinds of things that would be disclosed during the trial. They would have to be a part of discovery as well. The government is obliged under a thing called Jenks and Brady to produce every bit of information it has to the defense. That's a part of our system. That may already be out there. Again, the defense has no great interest in disclosing those kinds of things. That's why we wouldn't know it. But you're absolutely right. Those kinds of things will be eventually a part of a trial. And at the same time, it has been, we're coming up now on 2024, 3 years since all of this happened. And it does get a bit stale, right? And I think you have reason to believe that there's more of it out there. We don't know how broad that may be.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannoli on Saturdays, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim, in the last segment, I asked you about a timeline. Certainly, as we talked about, the U.S. Supreme Court will not take up this expedited request by Jack Smith to determine whether or not, you know, Donald Trump has this ultimate absolute immunity for everything ever. It's got to go through the D.C. They got already have arguments scheduled for, what, January 9th, and the process go through it. I mean, so possibly, if everything went perfectly well beforehand, maybe we could still meet the March deadline, but probably not. My question to you, Jim, Alvin Bragg, man, if this thing got delayed too long, could he slide back in? Where are we at with the Alvin Bragg, a Manhattan DA investigation?
Sure. And so, again, that's also in the queue, right, for springtime as well. Alvin Bragg, interestingly, has said.
Are we back to talking about Stormy Daniels?
We are talking about Stormy Daniels. Once again, we're talking about Stormy Daniels. The hush money is back once again from what? 2016. Talk about your old back scenarios, right? October of 2016, we're talking about events now. He has generously said, you know what? If all you other prosecutors, if you want to go ahead of me, I'll be happy to hold back. At the same time, he plainly has an interest in going ahead with this as well. The narrow, specific answer to your good question, Dom, is trial dates are plainly set by courts. And so just like Jack Smith is seeking appropriately timely trials, both in South Florida and also in D.C., Alvin Bragg obviously should bring this to trial sometime soon, get to the criminal judge there and say, schedule this on, confirm this, and get this ready to go to trial. It was the first case that was indicted. It probably won't be the last one tried, but probably, I will agree with you, Mike, probably the least significant now among all of these others that is out there. But it should be tried at some point, gosh, before the decade is out, right?
Jim Santel, I have never utilized the federal courts. I've never been a defendant in the federal courts. State courts, but that's a different story, different day. If there is a delay, let's start with the March 4th trial date in D.C. Let's assume our miraculous Christmas Hail Mary doesn't come through, the D.C. circuit doesn't rule, and then the Supreme Court walks away and says, let it happen. That would be the most expedited timeline that we could possibly imagine. Let's say it doesn't happen like that. Jim, how longer trials generally delayed for it? Let's say March 4th is no longer going to seem like a reality. Well, they're not going to ask again on March 5th and March 6th and March 7th. They're going to schedule someone else's trial. So, Jim, what sort of a delay would we expect if we knew this trial was on the back burner again?
It is an incredibly important question. It has to do with practical trial scheduling by federal district court judges. We know that Judge Shutkin, much to the anger, if you will, of Donald Trump and his attorneys, has already begun the jury selection process. She's already commissioned the questionnaires to go out and begin that process. Why? Because it's estimated that to get a jury there in the District of Columbia, not impossible at all, it's going to take weeks probably. And she has plainly already set aside weeks to try this case. And again, beginning in early March, And that means that she has maybe not completely erased her calendar. I'm sure there are things in second and third settings there, maybe other civil trials that she was going to do during the period of time. But she has basically carved out a significant period of time, probably a couple of months, if not more, between jury selection, between presentation of a prosecution case, defense case as well. If they make one, they don't have an obligation to do so. We're talking weeks, if not months, to try the case alone. Again, we're not even talking about Florida right now in the Mar-a-Lago case. This is just the one defendant, four-count insurrection indictment in D.C. She is going to have to find another significant period in her calendar to reinsert this trial. Now, can there be reassignments of cases? Yes. The civil docket always takes a second step, if you will, for the criminal stuff. And there can be other reassignments of cases. And she probably would go to the chief judge there and say, gee, what can we do to rearrange things among all the district court judges? But it's not easy. And she's already done this once. That's the consequence of delay here. Could bring you into the summer if she can find time there. It could bring you into the fall, even when something else significant is going to happen in America. All speculation on my part, but it's no small thing to reschedule a significant trial like this and to find the time to do it. I did many 2 and 3 gun cases, even white collar cases that can be tried in the course of a week or so. This is not that case and it requires a lot of time. Finding that time on the calendar, if it slips from early March, is going to be a challenge for her and other judges.
Jim Santella, our fine guest, what if, you know, the next hole in the calendar is right around, let's say, November 1st? Could you see a theoretical circumstance where Trump is the nominee and he goes to trial on election day or is at trial or in some process of being tried in one or multiple jurisdictions? Is that seem feasible or would they delay the trial, start the trial sooner or not have a trial until post-election?
I look at the Speedy Trial Act, and which says that you've got 70 days from the time of an indictment to try a case, all sorts of exceptions for complexity, all sorts of other things. I do not see an exception for, boy, if the defendant happens to be running for the presidency and might be elected in a few weeks, that's not there. That's sort of a tongue-in-cheek response. The more serious response is that these judges have said that, yes, they're going to give him, they have given Donald Trump an awful lot of consideration by virtue of the fact that he's running for office, and who knows how that's going to play out. Super Tuesday coming up, campaigning, conventions here in Milwaukee, right? Other places around the country where this is going to be 2024, huge amount of campaigning. The judges have still said that he is a defendant, and Judge Chutkan, among others, have said, I'm going to treat you the same way that I would treat other defendants. Especially if there are all sorts of delays that are going on during the course of the summertime, other accommodations are being given. I would see a federal judge saying, I'm done with further delays. And even though this may begin on whatever October, whatever Halloween, whatever day that is, and may run into the election, I could see a judge doing this and finally saying, that's not my consideration. My consideration is the delivery of justice as to this case, and I'm going to go ahead and schedule this now.
James Santella, former U.S. attorney, I love the thought process, the exercise we go through here, Jim. What if Donald Trump wins the election, but is convicted subsequent to taking office? How do you think that would play out?
Pardon myself.
All right.
But he's not in office yet, right?
He is not in office yet. Lots of considerations there. Nothing in the Constitution that says that a convicted felon cannot take the oath of office on January 20th. Appeals will still be going on. Another interesting issue, which we can talk about another time, is what if Fannie Willis at some point convicts him? Can a state basically prevent a president from taking office? That's a very interesting constitutional argument as well. Stay tuned for more civics on Civic Media on the Devil's Advocates, right?
And don't forget the Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel every Saturday morning, including Christmas Eve. Get up tomorrow morning. Learn a little something from our friend Jim Santel. Have a great weekend, Jim. I got to hit the ball tomorrow. Hear there's a big event coming around soon.
Thank you,
Jim.
Good
to be with you again, gentlemen. Take care.
Yep.
More Devil's Advocates. One last chance for your Friday grievances. Dial them up. Nothing but conservatives in the queue. 844.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Here's a new way to ring in the new year. How about some peace and quiet? December 31st is officially No Interruptions Day, a holiday first introduced in 2014. It's considered an important way to take a break from your everyday distractions by focusing on yourself, your family, and friends. Those who celebrate No Interruptions Day say it's a great reason to turn off your phone, TV, and social media to instead slow down. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRC.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wow! I feel good.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
I feel good.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday to us all. Thank you, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannolis. Make sure you check his show out tomorrow, 9 to 11, right here on the Civic Media Network. Always appreciate Jim coming around. Our last segment of the day, 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Dom, this is your last segment of the year. Some of us doing live radio next week, but you are not amongst us.
That's well, we'll see. We got a lot of things in the works, but my plan right now is, I'm off next week.
So I should root for bad weather, might reroute you back to a studio. I'm not cheering against you, buddy, but you know, be a little lonely here without you.
I know you're working hard, man.
I will be here and Nate will be doing live radio. So if we got some tremendous breaking news, like the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling for new maps, like we did in hour one, or, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court failing to do the right thing and quickly with alacrity ruling on presidential immunity, which is asinine, but whatever. You know, if any of that kind of stuff breaks, I'll be here. I'll be your man. Dom won't. I will. Gary, welcome to the show. Gary from Sussex, our conservative love muffin. How you doing, Gary?
Yeah.
Hey, Gary.
I'm doing good. And Merry Christmas to both you guys.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, happy post-Hanukkah, too, because I got a lot of Jewish friends. A lot of my clients are Jewish guys. And I got rabbis and everything else. But back to business. All right. Hey, this Colorado thing. All right. So what they're doing is basically convicting Trump before he's convicted and say that he's broken the 14th Amendment and they're not going to let him on the ballot.
Well, he's not convicted, but yes, they did say he engaged in insurrection. Therefore, yeah, well, it's not a conviction. Yeah. He's not going to jail. He's not paying a fine, Gary. He doesn't have the privilege of being on a ballot because he engaged in an insurrection. But you go now.
Yeah. Okay. So the fact of the matter is they're disenfranchising all the Republicans that are going to vote for him. This will never fly. I mean, I don't like to use the word you guys because I like you guys, but the Democrats are just like, are they insane? What's going
to
happen?
What's this got to do with Democrats, Gary? These were Republican plaintiffs in the state of Colorado. This was a decision made by an independent judiciary, and Dom and Crute didn't have a vote.
Yeah, but the thing is, these people are Trump haters in a state that's a blue state. All right? This isn't going to happen in
Colorado's a blue state suddenly?
Well, it's certainly not red.
Tell that to Lauren Boebert.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And is it your definition of red if they would have gone along and say, no, Donald Trump? Let me ask you this, Gary. Let's talk about self-evidence here, right? Donald Trump sat on his ass for 3 hours while his supporters ransacked the Capitol. Can we agree on that?
No, he said go out there to the Capitol, let them know what you're doing, but do it peacefully. That's what I heard.
Okay, but he did say that along with many other incendiary things, Gary. But then they attacked the Capitol, and then Donald Trump did nothing for over 3 hours, Gary. So can we agree on that?
Well, what was he going to do? Stand out there and put his hands up?
Knock it off.
Yeah, he could have said, when he finally said 3 hours later, Gary, go home. We love you. You're beautiful people. What a wonderful day. He didn't do that. He let them ransack the Capitol for 3 hours, Gary. Can we agree on that?
Hey, what happened in the Capitol was in 2010?
Let's talk about January 6th.
No attacks on Capitol police officers. They're not analogous, Gary, so don't even go there.
Yeah, come on, all man. Right. Listen, here's the point, Gary. I don't think you can defend Donald Trump's lack of action. If nothing else, his absolute lack of action, while his supporters ransacked the Capitol, attempting and successfully stopping the peaceful transfer of power, Gary, that's what he did. That's what Donald Trump did. His lack of action, if nothing else, would make him part of it, giving aid and comfort to, I don't know, a bunch of insurrectionists that he fired up. Gary, do you think Donald Trump has zero culpability on anything that happened on that day?
He might have been stuck in a bathroom with a bowel movement problem.
Gary. Let me ask you a different question, Gary.
I'd like to have an answer to that question, Gary.
He should probably went to the Capitol and stood out there and said, go home. He didn't say anything. His own kids told him, you got to say something.
And he did not.
You know,
for hours.
No, of course not. But the fact is, he never told the people to do it. So because he doesn't say stop it doesn't mean that
come to D.C. It'll be wild.
It'll be wild. Come on, man. Right, Gary, whatever. Really, dude, all you right. believe that?
If I do say really go beat that? Up Dominic's ass, but be peaceful, I mean, does that take away the ass whooping? Or do we look at the net result and say, you know, maybe you should have been a little more urgent when he said go peacefully, because he only kind of said it once at the end and it was sort of quiet. And the rest of the time he's like, go fight like hell or they're going to take your country away.
That's scary. Come on, man. In any circumstance, Gary, you and I would think, I got to believe, man, politics aside, if someone acted in that behavior, you're like, man, they're part of the problem. They're part of the reason why this is happening. Gary, do you give any does Trump bear any responsibility for January 6th in your mind, Gary?
He could have done more, but he is not guilty of insurrection.
If he is convicted, should he be excluded from the ballot? If he is convicted.
Of course. Well, first of all, he'll never, ever be convicted, not under the United States Supreme Court.
Well, that means they're partisan, Gary. There's a few more waiting. Merry Christmas to you, fella. Wisco Paul, what do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Wow, it's hard to follow that one, but hey, I was done.
You could do better than that without even trying, Wisco. Come on.
Okay, I was down in Addison in 2010, and it was totally peaceful. No comparison between the two.
I let my teenage kids sleep in that Capitol, man. It was incredibly peaceful. Blue painter's tape on the wall. Come on, that's the worst they could say about us is there's some stick 'em on the wall, Wisco.
Great day for Wisconsin. The Supreme Court ruled we're going to actually have democracy. Merry Christmas to that one. And Nikki Haley, 4 points from Trump in New Hampshire. So what's Trump say right away? Fake polls. So there's Trump. I'm sick of Trump, by the way. Hey, you guys have a Merry Christmas, and thanks for your show. Great show today.
All right. No qualifier.
Thank you, Merry Christmas to
no
you,
pretty
man.
Good. No, really good, straight to great. Tony the Tiger couldn't have said it better, Wisco Paul. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll be here doing live radio next week, with or without that guy. Nate will be here. We'll take your calls. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show, then Pizza Box Mike outside the Pizza Box here in Madison, and Peach Waba doing the night lights, 8 to 10, right here on Civic Media. Keep it locked. Happy holidays.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Rochester, New York Police Department's Joint